Welcome to Liverpool Rumours podcast, in which Bernie Baller and Edo One will be discussing the game between Liverpool versus West Ham. So, Edo One, how are you?
Well, I was a lot better before watching it. How was your weekend? Still hungover?
My weekend was extremely heavy, so apologies for the throat and monotone, as I was at Reading Festival. And I'm literally going to let Ed take control here. And where would you like to start on the game, Ed?
I mean, where'd you start with that? I'm straight virtue from kickoff, they were at us, and we just couldn't handle it at all. Just couldn't handle them. I suppose the main talking points, first off, we may as well just deal with the two sendings off. Let's just get them out of the way first.
Okay, well, I've seen, you know, the little clips, and I guess we'll start with Nobles.
Yeah, that was just a joke. I mean, there's no way that's a red card. I just wouldn't even give that as a foul, personally. I thought it was a good tackle. He won the ball, played it clear. I just didn't see that as a foul, let alone a red card.
He sort of kept his feet on the floor as he slid as well.
Yeah, exactly. He's not put his feet up. He's not done anything wrong at all. I just thought that was a good tackle. Well done, lad. Did well. You know, kept his team in the ahead. You know, kept, they were 2-0 up, but you know what I mean? Kept it from breaking to Chan and saved them from suffering an attack. And the next thing I know, he's getting red carded. And even as I was watching it at the time, I was just flabbergasted because it just didn't look bad even. So, you know, it's not one of those where you look at and you think, Christ, that looks bad. And then when you watch the replay, you think, oh, actually, it wasn't that bad. No, that was one from the first viewing. You're just thinking, good tackle, lad. Well done. And all of a sudden, the red card's coming out and you're thinking, what?
Did that red card come after Coutinho's?
Yes.
Do you think it could have been a sympathy red card from the referee? Do you know what I mean? When he feels he's sort of sent Coutinho off too easily and feels bad, you know, you see it at amateur level and you do see it at the higher level with a crowd behind the referee, you know, giving a bit of a sympathy red card.
Yeah, could well have been, but I don't think so. I just think he just thought nobody had lunged in two-footed with his stud showing and he hadn't seen it properly. It was just a poor decision. Almost as poor as the decision by Love for the second goal, but we'll get to that.
Well, let's move on to Coutinho then. I've seen the second, the yellow. What was the first yellow about?
The first yellow, he was just back chatting. It was, you know, it was just stupidity. And it was stupidity, and I can understand. He thought he should have got a foul, and we were under the caution and in trouble. You can't just keep going on and on and on like he was and shouting at the referee. You're going to get yourself booked eventually. So I've got no arguments with that one. He should have kept his mouth shut and just got on with the game. But the second one, I mean, it's ridiculous. The guy's done a little pirouette and fallen over him rather than he's taking him out. It's just a nothing. I could maybe see if he's going to give a foul because he has, you know, he has fallen over him. Even if it isn't really a foul, it's just a tangle, really, isn't it? It's just one of those things.
Looks like he's, he's trying to block off a pass. He's slid ahead, tried to block off some sort of pass, or, you know, just sort of set up a long barrier sort of thing. And as you say, the bloke's done the old pirouette and stood on top of Coutinho, and then, you know, had his arse into his face and gone over top of Coutinho.
Yeah, if he hadn't done the pirouette, if he'd have just carried on running straight, he would have just avoided the tackle. Like, he would have just jumped over it. It's that little, you know, the little turn. He's not seen where he is. So he's just fallen over him. It's just one of those things. And any other time, they're just not given. I couldn't believe what the referee was doing there. I don't think it would have made a difference to the result, to be honest. I really don't think it made a difference to the result because we were getting battered anyway. We were by far the worst side in that game. They were definitely better than us. We had no width, no movement, no pace, nothing.
Were we that bad, were we?
I was watching it and I was thinking, this is like the Stoke game all over again. It was that bad, you know, when you're just thinking, oh, this could be anything they want. Just like that Stoke game.
Jesus.
I mean, there was literally no power. The defending was just... I know we've been saying about the defending's a worry, but it's just like they decided to show how much of a worry it is.
What did they...
On the first goal, you've got...
We were talking the other week, might be after the Arsenal game, about three clean sheets, and I did chuckle to myself because you said, you know, unfortunately we're keeping clean sheets so Brendan can't change it, and you ironically joked about them having a nightmare so, you know, so Sacco could get in, and, well, it happened.
Oh, no, it's not the way you want it to happen. We do need to make a change at the back. It's clear those two just don't work together. They just aren't a pairing at all. We've been lucky so far, refereeing decisions and coming up against teams that have been playing just as badly as we have. Once you get up against a team who actually knows how to play against us, it was always going to be a problem.
So let's go on to the first goal. You got Skirtle's header seems to have been the main focus point. What do you reckon was wrong with that?
Well, he should have just... All he's got to do there, he's not... He can see he's got no power and pace on the ball coming in, so he can't head it. So he's got to get distance and elevation on it, or elevation. You know, if he can't get distance, just get it up in the air and give the keeper time to get it even. You know what I mean? Just head it straight up. But what you don't do is head it where you can't see with a poor, weak header like that. I know you said to me, but at least he tried to get it clear of the goal, but it doesn't matter. He can't see where he's heading it. He has to head it where he can see it in that position and put his neck into it and really get it high and far.
The way I see it is like if you had a shot at the goalkeeper and, you know, the keeper can't catch it, the keeper's always taught to parry wide of the goal. So, yeah, you know, so don't come back into the mixer in the middle. And I think, you know, he's just...
To put it behind the goal. Not parry it wide. I know people keep saying, oh, yeah, that's good because they're parrying it wide. No, that's not true. You're not taught to parry it wide. You're taught to put it behind.
If you can.
Yeah. You don't put it back out into the play, which is what Skirtle did. He did the exact wrong thing. If you're going to just parry it, you put it behind, not just straight back out. That's terrible goalkeeping. That's the thing that always annoys me about people like Craig Gordon. When you see them and you think people rave about them when they're rubbish because they're constantly putting their team in danger because all they're doing is powering it back into the danger zone. And that's exactly what Skirtle did. Exactly what he did.
Once again, it's another split decision and got it wrong again.
He's tried to be clever, tried to play a pass with his head. That's what he's tried to do there instead of just getting it clear. Put it out and then worry about it later. That's what you do.
You reckon he should have headed it back where it come from as well because, you know, he would have got more power.
Yeah, because then he can get his head behind it and really put power behind it. Or you put it behind for a cut, you know, head it up and back over because you can't see where he's heading it. He can't see a thing.
It definitely looks soft. Like it just seemed like he was just helping it on sort of thing.
Yeah, it looked to me like he was trying to be clever and trying to play a pass with his head. You know, just helping on, thinking there was one of his teammates there. But he hasn't looked, so how can he know? So you don't do that. You've got to get it clear in those positions. First off, you defend. Then you worry about passing when you know you've got space and time, you know, you're a defender.
Do you think Joe Gomez could have done better? When the ball's played back across the goal, you know, I could only see, but it was a bit fast-paced, but it looked like he sort of miskicked or missed the ball, or the other bloke got there first.
Could have done better, yeah, but at the end of the day, it shouldn't have been in that, he shouldn't have been in that position, and he's got to be, you know, he's making a challenge in the box. He's got to be careful, so I can understand him missing that. I do think he could have done a little bit better. He should have at least got something on that. He's a kid, so you go a bit easier on him, don't you, at the end of the day? Give him his due, he's just a kid. So.
Whereas girls should know better at his age.
Yeah, exactly. He's supposed to be the experienced head at the back, and what he did was just, I mean, it was just rank bad defending. It's basics. This isn't something clever that you don't need. And this is one of the first things. I can remember Alan Hansen talking about this repeatedly. You know, you only have to watch any match of the day, and he talks about clearing your lines first. Something he did all the time was, your first thing is you get it clear. You get distance and elevation. Right? At the end of the day, if you want to be clever, you just head it up in the air so the goalkeeper can come out and claim it. That's fine, but you don't play a pass into a, and when you're inside your own area, you do not play a pass blind, because that's what he tried to do. He tried to head it on, and he's got nowhere knowing who's there.
I don't think he was trying to pass. I think that's far too clever for him.
Yeah, maybe I'm giving him too much credit then.
Yeah.
That's how it looks to me.
Do you want to go on to the second goal then, I guess?
Yeah.
This will be fun. I'm just going to sit back. I'll sit back. Crack on, mate.
I just don't understand what he's doing. He's got three options there. He can shepherd it out for a throw-in. He can just put it into touch for them to have a throw-in. Or he can play it back to the keeper. And this is in the first instance.
It's sort of a two-part thing, yeah.
Yeah, he ends up in a tangle doing nothing and then controls the ball, takes it, you know, gets away from him. He's got another chance then to just put it into touch or to play it back to the keeper. And again, he does nothing. He just dithers. It's clearly a lack of confidence, because a confident defender would make a decision, whereas he's dithering, not knowing what to do.
Tactics, maybe?
Well, if you're playing the passing around, see, this is what I don't understand. I've heard people criticise him, saying it's because of Brendan Rodgers wanting him to pass it around at the back. But if that was so, he'd have played it to the keeper. Because that's a pass. Why did he just dither on it and look around? It's because he didn't know what to do. He panicked.
I think he had a bad touch that took him to the byline, and then he's gone, oh, bugger, there's a byline. Went to control it, and that touch was just absolutely disgusting. And the bloke's nipped it off him.
A player, and you know, if he'd have been decisive, he'd just put it out. He'd have said, oh, it's going out. I'll just put it out for the throw-in. Or play it across to the keeper. But he's not. He's dithered and dallied and not made up his mind and ended up making a mistake. It's clearly he's lacking confidence badly.
It was quite comical. The series of events were comical in that little passage of play.
I can't say I was laughing. Not at the time, I wasn't laughing.
I bet the West Ham fans were.
Yeah, they might have been, but I wasn't. I was too busy swearing to laugh. He got called a few choice words, let's put it that way. But I just think he's out of confidence and he shouldn't be in the team. He's shown he's not a pairing with Skirtle. We've had three games of him playing badly alongside him. I mean, not playing badly as in himself. I'm talking about as a pairing. The two of them haven't worked. So, yeah, hopefully the silver lining is that the team will be changed and the centre-backs will be different for the next game.
And what if it isn't?
Because you see, those two aren't good enough. Then we're in trouble, aren't we? Because we can't keep relying on luck and bad refereeing decisions. Because so far, that's all that's kept clean sheets for us.
Would you say it wasn't Brendan's fault, this result?
I would say it was all Brendan's fault.
But the thing is, we've all, you know, we talked on the podcast last week about stressing you got to play the same team you know, that first 45 was a great 45.
That were wrong.
Mm.
When you get to watch the game, you'll see what I mean. There's no width whatsoever. So they've got acres of space to attack. And that's why his head, you know, Skirt's head to arm was so dangerous, because there was nobody out wide for us, and he's heading it out wide. So the only players going to get it are going to be West Ham players.
Mm.
So we've got nobody there. We're absolutely just diabolical tactically.
I don't think I want to watch it. You know.
Bilic, I mean, God, he knows how to play against us. He knows how Brendan Rodgers is going to set up the team, and it's easy for him. We played like a team at home. A team away, looking to counter. And once we conceded an early goal, we had no idea what to do. It was embarrassing, actually, to be honest. And the third goal, just stands off and watches the player Virgil as he puts it in the back of the net.
Yeah, it takes an unlucky bounce off Moreno, and then he squares Skirtle up. And Skirtle's just backing off. He's not showing him one way or another. He's just sort of dead central.
He's trying to get to the box as well. Mm. You know, the first thing you're taught is you defend the... this is another basic defending rule.
If you're going to foul him, foul him outside the box.
You don't back into your box. Never back into your box. If you're backing up, you always stop on the edge of the box. That's where you've got to stop, because that way, if you have to make a challenge, it's outside the area and it's not a penalty. So you're always taught that when you're getting close to the line, you stop. You know what I mean? You have to hold them up there. You can't allow them to back you into the box. That's just rank amateur defending.
On top of that, he wasn't showing them onto either foot. You know, he had a choice to go down the outside, or, well, maybe the inside was a bit more open, and I'm not sure, but is the bloke left-footed?
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter. This is what the defender's supposed to know. He's supposed to be
That's my point. He should know every preferred foot of every player on that pitch. I mean, you're a professional footballer. You've got to study this. You've got to know this. You've got to know where you're showing him.
Clubs should be giving him this information. This is one of the things that, like, people like Jose Mourinho and Unai Emery. Unai Emery, I was thinking of. He has huge dossiers on every player, and he will have them studying these things. You know, before the game, he'll show them videos to show what foot they favour and what they're better on, and, you know, what to do in certain situations like that. Are we doing this? Because it doesn't seem like we are. And if we are, and Skirtle's just that thick, he can't figure it out, then you need to get rid of him.
That may be the case of, you know, you can't teach old dogs new tricks, maybe.
If that's the case, then you get rid of them and get a new one. You get someone better. If you've got, you know, if you want a sheepdog and you've got a terrier, you get rid of it and get a sheepdog, don't you? If you want to herd sheep, you don't keep it. You know, you don't keep a terrier to herd sheep. You get a sheepdog.
What is it with you and sheep?
I was just trying to think of something, an easy example. It just beggars belief. We're watching, I'm watching the game. The tactics were just poor, and even worse was the substitution.
Yeah, tell me about these subs then.
Well, he went three at the back. He took off. We've got three. You know, Gomez, Lovren, and Skirtle are having an absolute mare.
Mm.
So what does he do when he decides to make changes?
Go on.
He goes through at the back and puts Gomez at the right side of the centre-back of three. So you've got the three worst players on the pitch, and you keep them on there, and you change somebody else. I mean, I just couldn't believe the choice. I mean, it makes no sense.
So who did he take off, and who did he bring on the first substitution?
Because he brought on Moreno to play left wing back.
Mm.
Who did he take off? I can't remember who he took off now.
Firmino? Milner? Can?
It was no, Milner didn't go off. Milner, when Lucas came off, he went to defensive midfielder, played the holding role. Oh, Milner was abysmal. Fair play. He had an absolute stinker.
Why would you take off, well, quoting Brendan, Lucas, our best defensive midfielder, why would he take him off to play Milner even more out of position there?
I don't know why he even played Milner, to be honest. He would have been among the first to come off. Him and Gomez was having a stinker. He's a kid, I'd leave him on to learn from it. But Skirtle and Lovren were just embarrassing, and Milner was having an absolute mare. He just he's not a central midfielder in any way, shape or form. He just runs around a lot. He works really hard and he tries. This is the Premier League. This isn't an amateur league. You know, trying very hard isn't enough. It is that simple. He is simply not a central midfielder. The only time he looks even halfway decent and offers anything is when he gets out wide. It's the only time he offers anything to the club at all. And his leadership, he's supposed to be the captain the other day. I didn't see any sign of him as a captain at all. Nothing. There was no evidence of him being a captain. It's not like he didn't even do the Gerrard role, you know, where he doesn't tell people what to do. He just drives on himself. He didn't even do that. He just did nothing. I don't know how anyone could say he's better than Henderson in the midfield. I'm sorry, but he is half the player Henderson is. He's just a worse version of Henderson. At least Henderson offers something better. He knows the role. Milner might grow into it a bit when he gets used to playing back there.
Yeah.
To be fair, he's not played there. You know, he's played the fits and starts over the last few years at City, and a lot of it in the wide areas, sometimes in the central areas. So he's not had a long run to get used to it. So he might improve, but we can't afford to wait for that. This is the problem we've got already. We've got a bunch of young players brought in. We've got Firmino, who's still got to learn the league, and et cetera, et cetera. We can't afford to have players.
How did Firmino get on? Just out of interest.
He was okay. He wasn't one of the... But they were feeding off scraps, the players in midfield, to be honest.
Mm.
All of them. Coutinho as well. There was nothing going forward. We offered nothing in attack. We were completely toothless. Benteke had nothing to feed on. He really didn't. The best chance fell to Lovren. Really.
Oh, the knockdown from Benteke.
Yeah. Which he put wide. But like that was after the second, you know, after his mistakes. So I think his head was gone, to be honest. And personally, I would have thought the best thing for him would be off at half time, to be honest, because he was really not. It wasn't like he was just, you could see it, he'd gone and his head had gone, and it was never going to work for him after that. He tried too hard, and then it just doesn't get, you know, it just doesn't work unless you relax and get on with the game.
I get you.
I'm trying to think who had a good game.
What's Mignolet like?
Yeah. Mignolet hadn't. I mean, all he really did was pick the ball out of the net. So he didn't really have a lot to do other than that.
Nathaniel Clyne, maybe? Did much come down that side?
He didn't have a good game.
Hmm.
As soon as they attacked him, he was struggling. He's been good. No, I'm a bit worried about him when today, but I don't think that's his fault. Again, like I said, the tactics are so different from when he played at Southampton, where he always had protection. He always had Schneiderlin and Wanyama ready to nip across and cover. Normally the winger would be working back as well. Now he's not got that. He's kind of, you know, he can be isolated now, and I don't think he's that good one-on-one. He's not the worst, don't get me wrong. He's a massive improvement over Glenn Johnson.
Yeah, big
massive
time.
Improvement. But is he the better? No, I just don't think he was... for that amount of money, it wasn't really that big an improvement over what we had to make it worthwhile. I mean, as Gomez has shown, sometimes in the first few games, sometimes taking a chance on a kid can pay off.
So there's no real positives in at all. So that brings us to, well, I don't know, is there much else you want to say on it?
I can't think of a positive. I was trying to think of one. We just didn't. We were completely outdone. Billich got the better of Brendan Rodgers again, and easily as well. He didn't even have to do anything different from what he did before when we faced his team. It's quite embarrassing that really Brendan Rodgers hasn't figured out how to deal with the tactics. I mean, this isn't the first time he's faced them, so I just don't understand it. I really think the overhaul hasn't gone far enough in terms of the analysts and all that, because they're clearly not giving the right information to the players. Like you said, with Skirtley, didn't know what to do with that player. He should have known. He should have had it in his head. This was one of the things that I can't think of his name now. The guy, Rafa's mate that left, fell out with Rafa. You know who I mean.
Not the goalkeeping coach bloke.
Yes, he was a goalkeeping coach.
The one that everyone kept begging to come back because they thought Reina's form dropped when he went.
Yes, that's the one. And that's because it's true. One of the things he used to do is he'd tell the players all about the strikers they were facing. You know, what foot they favoured, how they, what type of shot they looked to take, which foot they looked to hit it with, how they looked to hit it, where they looked to run, things like that. So that not just the keeper would know how to, where to position himself, which made a huge difference to Reina, but it also, the whole defence knew how. That's how come we had such a great defensive record under him. It wasn't just Rafa, it was the whole, it was the whole kit and caboodle Rafa brought with him, which is why I think Rafa's struggled so much since he left us, because he didn't have he didn't have his fitness coach, whose name I've also forgotten, oh God, and he didn't have the goalkeeping coach, who were a huge part of his success.
That's two more people that are going to stop listening.
I know. I feel so bad. Is it Valero?
That doesn't ring a bell.
Oh, I can't remember now.
Am I Googling
it? My mind's gone blank. They're really nice guys as well. I've met both really nice guys. I feel really bad because I just can't think of their name. But they brought so much more than just...
Xavi Valero.
Oh, it's Valero, see? I was right. Xavi Valero, yes. He's fantastic. He's possibly one of the best goalkeeping coaches in the world. Because he does more than just coach a goalkeeper. He doesn't just coach them on how to catch and how to stop. He teaches them about the opponents they face as well, which is what we should be doing as a club, and we don't do enough of. This is another of the things, see, why I get annoyed with Brendan Rodgers, in my opinion, doesn't do enough, because he doesn't do enough homework. He doesn't have all this to hand. I understand if he's not capable, if he's saying he hasn't got the time to go and study all these players, but then he should have somebody there who does. And he surely must know that this is a good thing. He's worked with Jose Mourinho, who does all that.
Well, I guess that brings us to, as we know, Brendan listens to the podcast because he played the same team we asked him to play. He went to a match after we asked him to go to a match. So whilst we're on him, we know he listens. So, it becomes a regular thing, this question. If you got one question for Brendan Rodgers, what is it?
Who's analysing the opposition? Because they're not doing a good enough job.
You hear that, Brendan? And it needs to change. Hopefully he takes notes.
Our opponent, the analysis we're doing on opponents just isn't good enough. We're not finding out enough about them, as has been shown repeatedly.
Do you think that's arrogance?
I, I don't know. You'd have to ask Brendan that question. Is it because he doesn't believe it's needed? If so, then...
I get a question to Brendan? I'll get one to him as well. Okay.
Go on,
then. I'll do it. I'll word it. Brendan, are you so arrogant you expect our teams and big names to turn up to beat the lower teams, all due respect to West Ham, without studying them properly? That's my question.
Bob Paisley would never have put up with it, I tell you. It's one of the things he used to do. And one of the things, you know how one of the things he used to do with the boot room, the reason why they set it up and they worked on it, him and Shanks and Ronnie Moran, etc. It wasn't about, you know, after the after match drinks to have with the opposing managers and that, it wasn't about being friendly. It was about getting information out of them. They used to constantly pump them for information. That was what it was about. It was about finding out things about their players for a future reference and who they'd faced in the past. What are these like? What are they? You know what I mean? He'd want to know all these kind of little things, like what foot does so-and-so favour, et cetera, so they get an information out of the other managers. That's what needs to be done. Information is key. If you know what you're facing when you're facing someone and you know that he looks to go on his left foot all the time, then you know how to deal with it. It makes it so much easier. Okay, sometimes you get a player like Messi who's so good that even though you know he's going to put it on his left foot, there's nothing you can do about it 9 times out of 10. But at least you've got a chance because you know what what he's going to do. So you've got a chance. It's just the problem is that chance is minute because you've also got to worry about Suarez and Neymar as well. So and then that's not even counting Iniesta. But we're not facing teams with that kind of quality.
Yeah.
All due respect to West Ham, they're nothing like as good as Barcelona's attack. So we should be able to find a way with the players at our disposal to cope with them and nullify them. It should be possible. There's no reason why it's not. And the players should be coached tactically, ready for that each game. They should know what they're doing. When they come to face them, they should know exactly what they're doing. And they don't. They clearly don't. You can see that when they're playing. There's so many times where you see them looking around for instructions still. This was the whole idea that I thought these new coaching, the new coaching setup should be fixing this. And it's early days, so hopefully it will change in time. But still, the analysis needs to improve. And quickly, or we're in trouble.
What do you think then? I mean, we've had one good half of football this season. And it's been the same as last year, basically. So what are we thinking? Will Brendan see out the year?
I think he's getting close to the exit now. Getting really close. I mean, he was close in the summer, as we know. Michael Gordon made the decision to keep him on when Brendan put to him. I mean, the decision wasn't even made from what I'm told. The decision wasn't even made until Brendan Rodgers said, okay, rather than sacking me, because he was still discussing it with him. He hadn't decided what to do. And it was then that he put forward his idea, okay, let's change the coaching staff, but keep me. So he's on his last legs as it is. And he needs results to improve. He can't get, you can't.
Not just results, because we did get results, but the performances were still shocking.
Yeah, I mean the performances rather than results is what I meant. Because obviously you can get away with a few bad performances and pick up results occasionally, but you can't keep doing it over the course of a season. It only takes so long before they start turning against you, And other teams see when you're in trouble and you're playing badly.
They just want to go at you.
They see it and they target it.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. They targeted us. If they'd seen we were, we were sloppy. And so they got at us in the penalty area. They went for it early. They hit us fast. And it's going to be a real long season, I think, to be honest.
Well, up next we've got Man United, and I don't think...
Exactly.
Does that mean no Coutinho?
Yeah, he's banned.
So, what sort of lineup are we thinking?
Well, for starters, I think we need to.
Lovren has to be. Lovren will be made the scapegoat. I think I'll bet on that. And Sacco will come in for Lovren.
What worries me is we know full well Skirtle will play.
God, yeah.
Doesn't matter what he does.
We might as well give up talking about him because he's going to play him week in, week out.
How many times you point out his errors, he'll play. It doesn't matter how badly he plays, he'll get it next week as well. So, yeah, we might as well just accept that it's him and another alongside him. And it looks like, anyway, you've got to expect it to be Sacco.
Has to be. If he doesn't drop, Lovren needs to be dropped. I mean, at the elite football, you have a shocker, you get dropped. There's people waiting to get the chance.
Well, there's no point having a, you know, there's no point having a squad if you're just going to leave the player who's out of form and playing badly and lacking confidence. What's the point in having the rest of the squad if you don't drop him when he's doing that? It'd just be stupid. It sends out the wrong message to the rest of the team. What's the point in them bothering to put in any effort in training? This is one of the things that you end up with. You end up with a team that, like, they just don't see the point. Why bother trying? You've got to give them a chance. That was one of the things our success was built on. Sadly, though, we know it would be Skirtle. It's just whether Sacco plays alongside him or Lovren.
It's got to be Sacco.
What happens with Gomez now? Do you drop him? He had a bit of an off day. Do you drop him?
Yeah. I mean, we can't just back him up because he's English. He's had a good start. Young. I mean, you know, he's had a good start and then he's had a shocker. So it's part and parcel of the game, which he needs to learn. Mourinho has made an impact every time he's come on, by all accounts. So, you know, you can't say to me, like, Lovren's got to drop out because Sacco's waiting and then excuse Gomez because he's young. I mean, like I said, we're at the elite level now. And you have a bad game, you've got to come out.
You try and leave him in to get experience. But the thing is,
what if he has another shocker? There,
we've got no width. We've got nobody getting down the left. So I think you have to drop him because of that. I think we really struggled, particularly against West Ham, because we had no width there. And still, when you're losing, it just seems a bizarre substitution to bring on a left back.
Yeah.
That's not going to win you a game. Why would you bring on a left back to go out and try and claw back when you're losing? It's a bizarre. I mean, I don't know what they were thinking there. That just made no sense whatsoever. I understand we were lacking width, but we didn't need to go to three at the back. We just needed to take out one of the, you know, the left back. Wasn't providing the width. Okay, I understand that. So take him out and put a left back in with a left foot so he can provide the width. Then, fair enough, I could understand that. But not to go, you know, change the system to go to a back three. We weren't lacking width because we were playing a back four. We were lacking width because we had no one getting forward on the left. That's not going to change when you go to a back three. It's not going to make it suddenly get width. Yeah, okay, so it frees up a left-back to get forward, but he's not. I don't want the left-back being the only one in the advanced position. And when you're losing, you don't want that extra man at the back. They were only playing with one up top.
Yeah.
So we had three defenders and a holding midfielder to look after them.
Oh, dear.
What the hell's that all about?
Well, then, so we're going to expect... We expect Mourinho and Sacco to come in down that side. I would take Gomez out because he is young and I don't want him to have another bad game, you know?
I'd take him out because simply he's not got a left foot to cross it. He can't cross even when he does get it back on his right. His crossing's not good enough. And we need somebody. You've got Benteke. This is a ridiculous situation. Why are we not putting the crosses in?
We should be
pinging this ball into him at every opportunity. Every time we get in an advanced position, we should be putting it into him, letting him attack it. And we're not. We're just not doing that because we've got nobody getting wide to put it in the crosses. It's ridiculous. I like Gomez. I think he's got a great future in the game, but he's not going to be a left back.
No.
It's just not his position. So why keep playing him there?
All right, then. Is there anything else you'd like to add? I mean, it's all a bit depressing. Is there any positives? Anything at all?
Well, I'd just like to say good luck with those that have gone out on loan and been sold. So good luck, Fabio Barini at Sunderland. I hope he actually gets a chance there instead of being ignored for the full season for no reason whatsoever. Yezil out on loan as well, so I hope he does okay. And Canos out to Brentford. Good luck to him. Hopefully he proves himself to be a great player. Who else has gone out today?
I don't know, but whilst you are on loans, I'd just like to say a special mention to Cara, who's giving great loan updates. And
Yes.
He's got a lot more players now to keep track of. But if you could keep it up, we'd greatly appreciate it. It's going to be a bit hectic, but we appreciate it. We really do. We talked about it before. So keep that going, if you can. Keep track of everyone. Sorry, carry on, Ed. Yes.
No, I agree with you totally. Well done. Well done for remembering. I've been meaning to say that for a while. It's excellent. I don't know how he keeps track of them all. I forget who's gone where. I can't even remember. I couldn't even remember who Xavi Valera was. So I suppose there's no hope for me, really, is there?
It is. It's a handy little snippet. It's not too long. It's not long-winded. Just little snippets. You know, and
I don't know, it's getting long now with all the
as in names. Yeah, it's gonna be a big old page now. But we signed the striker as well, didn't we? That's who you were thinking of. The striker we signed. He's just gone straight on loan.
Yeah, the Nigerian lad. Did he go to Rennes? Was it? I can't remember. It gets difficult to keep up with who's going where at the moment.
Are you quite busy tonight then?
Oh, yeah. I was quite glad of the break to come and do this, to be honest, because I've literally haven't moved from in front of the computer. I was literally carrying the tablet when I was going to make a cup of tea, even. I was taking the tablet with me and carrying on working while the kettle was boiling. Like, I wasn't even stopping then. So, it gets hectic. The last couple of days, it's just a case of taking a break when you can get it. And usually falling asleep at the computer at night when it's just because you get too tired to stay awake rather than saying, oh, it's getting late now, I'll go to sleep. It's just none of that at this time of year.
Mm. Well, I suppose we should...
Thanks to the FA for extending it an extra couple of days for me as well. That's nice of them.
Oh, is that,
just
is
to
it,
make sure I'm back in.
Is it not finishing tomorrow now?
Yeah, tomorrow at 6 p.m.
Tomorrow at 6 p.m. When's the paperwork got to be in by 11 p.m.? Is that right, or...?
No, 6 p.m. is it all shut.
All right.
Yeah, 6
p.m. I thought there's an allowance after the allotted time for paperwork to get through, or...?
Yeah, what they do is you have to submit, a form to ask for more time.
Okay.
By then. You can ask for more time, but you have to submit a form to ask for it before 6. Everything has to be into them to ask for more time if it's, submit it to say pending a medical, etc.
So
you don't have to have the medical and all that, then you can do all that afterwards.
Afterwards. So we've got 10 hours to get Lavezzi and Roos.
That's why sometimes it could be. Well, Lavezzi's saying, isn't he? And Roos ain't likely to go anywhere either, sadly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think they're what we need, to be honest.
No, I think we need a new coach. And I think we should wrap it up there and let you get back to editing.
Like, thanks, because I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, I know, you're a busy, busy man.
Oh, Man United will be insane tonight as well, won't it, their sight?
Oh, God, yeah. Well, I wish you all the best for it. Are we doing Benny's joke, or... did it flop?
I'm waiting for that. That's what I'm waiting on.
We're doing it. Okay.
Have you prepared one?
Oh, I'll just pick one off the top of my brain.
Worse. Trust me, you couldn't do worse than the last one.
Oh, I think I can.
Actually, I haven't heard your jokes, told you. You're probably right.
Okay. It's I'll just go straight for it. Two oranges go into a bar. one says to the other, "You're round."
Oh, God.
How can you not like that?
Oh, God.
Is it because I didn't do the jingle before?
I think that's what's missing. I really think that's what's missing. You might have to cut that back in afterwards.
Well, we could do it now, and you'll have to, like, laugh like you heard it for the first time. Right.
Nah. But... laugh. What do you mean, laugh? Rogue.
Benny's joke of the week. That was it, weren't it?
I don't know. Sounds about right.
Okay, you got to sound more enthusiastic this time. Two oranges go into a bar. One says to the other, "You're round."
That's worse on second telling.
Right, I think we'll just wrap it up there.
I'd just like to apologise to all the listeners.
Okay, the joke. I got another one. Do you want another one? You might like it. It might relate to some posters your age.
Oh, God.
What kind of overall? What are Mario's favourite overalls? Denim, denim, denim. Denim, denim, denim. Right, we'll leave it there. Cheers for listening. Thanks.
That one. Get it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think it's the age thing.
Yeah, I just don't play Mario.
There are other video games you can play. Yeah. And we've got we can't show favouritism to a brand, can we?
We can't like Super Mario anymore. Now he's out on loan and that, like.
I'm sure there's plenty of jokes to come in for him.
Oh, yes. He's enough for one himself, though, let's be honest.
Do you think we should have a submit your joke page, Liverpool related?
Oh, I tell you what we should do. I should go back and get all the research I did when he was close to joining Arsenal and just do a podcast on the things Mario's done.
I think that would take a while.
There was hundreds of things.
Okay. I reckon then the posters should send in their best jokes to Edo1 and he will pick one out for next week. And it's got to be Liverpool related, player related, something like that, yeah?
Okay then. Yeah, we'll see what we get.
Seeing as my jokes just sent, you know.
They're just rubbish, aren't they? Let's be honest.
They are. They're not great. Right. We're dragging this out. Let's end it here. Any final words, Ed? Any big names going anywhere? That's what the people want to know.
A lot of it. I mean, Chelsea seem to have got stuck on trying to get Pogba in, and it's not going to happen. So not really a lot other than what's already gone through, to be honest. Now, by the looks of it.
I'm sure there'll be a surprise tomorrow.
John Stones has stayed.
Ooh.
So... yeah, they've moved to a different defender, so... yeah, there's not really, you know, nothing big Liverpool-related, no.
Okay. Well, we'll call it there, then. Yeah, sadly, no Royce or Lavezzi, but there we go. Right, so, get your jokes in for next week. Best joke Ed can read out next week. It's got to be Liverpool-related. Yeah, and I'm going to give you such a hard time.
Yeah, well, it'd be funny if I tell it. It's the way you tell them.
No, it's just your funny accent. You're like Joe Pasquale. He's not funny, but you just laugh.
Couldn't stand him.
I thought you were related.
No. I've no idea where he's from, even. I just know he's not funny.
Fair enough. Right, wrap it up.
He makes
right.
you seem funny.
He makes...
how bad he is.
I am hilarious. Right, so shush. Anyway, we've got to wrap up. We've got to say thank you. We've got to say get your jokes in. We've got to say keep fingers crossed. Don't lose all hope.
And don't forget we're looking at doing the live video streaming in the future.
Okay.
Matches are you.
So, yeah, there's going to be
a live chat and video streaming of you commentating, so to speak, on a match.
That's going to be...
yeah.
A lot of fun. I think. I don't know. Wasn't my idea. But
it was.
My idea was just audio, but Ed wants me on camera because I'm good looking enough to be on it, and he's not.
You keep telling us you're going to bring in all the ladies to the site, so we want to prove it.
We'll,
Mrs. can't bear to be with you.
What are you trying to hurt me for?
Desperate to leave the room. I heard you saying to her, begging her to stay when she wanted to go.
Something like that. So, yeah, there will be a page coming where you literally watch me do a Chris Kamara. That's the best way to describe it. I'd probably...
Except less intelligent.
What, then Chris Kamara?
Yeah.
Can that less is that possible? Yes. That's not possible.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, believe me, if it is, you'll manage it.
Some way, somehow. Right, I'm going to... Right, yeah, we'll call it there then. We are 50 minutes in. Right. It's been emotional. It's been depressing, to be honest. Probably the most depressing one we've done, but that's the life of a Liverpool fan. Elation one moment, depressing the next. Let's hope for better against Man United. Thanks a lot for listening. Ed, final word goes to you.
I got nothing to say now, mate. That's it. I'm done.
That's brilliant. Right, get your jokes into Ed. Thanks a lot for listening. And hopefully we'll be back on form next time. Thanks very much.